Manipulative. I don't like to be manipulated. I don't like to see folks being manipulated. Experiencing or seeing that really ticks me off. When Paul wrote to Philemon, he was being really manipulative. He wanted Philemon to release Onesimus from his servitude. He also, I think, wanted to challenge Philemon to do more than simply do the right thing, you know, in his whole life. I also think he wanted to get Philemon to give some money to the cause. So today, this really short chapter of Philemon. And Paul's really clever in it. He tries to drive home his manipulative agenda. He played on the name, Onesimus' name, meaning useful, and calling him formerly useless, but now useful. He played on Philemon's sense of fairness, too, where he says, I prefer to do nothing without your consent. And if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. And there's even more in here. Although the first part, the buttering up part at the beginning, at least I would call it that now, but in the context of Greek letters, it's not really buttering up. That's the way you would start a letter. If you look at Greek letters that are not from the Bible, they start with from this person to this person and then some nice things. I always think of you fondly. We had a great time when we were out in Italy or wherever we were or something like that. And then get to the crux of the letter. There's only one time in the Bible where you see a letter from Paul skip that part because it was a proper form of a Greek letter. And it's in the letter of Galatians. He says, from Paul to the church in Galatia, grace and peace to you. And then, I am astonished at how quickly you are running away from the gospel. He doesn't even say any of the niceties, so he breaks form right there. This time he doesn't. He just follows the form. But he really gets... manipulative is the only word that I can think of. Persuasive, some people have tried to use. But persuasive is where you try to get somebody to see your way of thinking so that they will think your way, but you're persuading them and maybe they're not going to agree with you. Manipulative is the only possible response that you have here is what I say. And that's what Paul is doing. So Paul masterfully manipulated this letter into one that seems to have no appropriate response except for Onesimus' freedom and equality. But then on the other hand, you might be thinking, but freedom and equality, those are things you talk about all the time. What better cause could there be? And freedom from slavery, how could you find fault with a letter that calls for the release of a slave? And here's why. I think that we mistakenly interpret this letter into one that's anti-slavery. And I don't think that it is. The letter is one that recognizes equality, but it also doesn't address the power one class has over another in the marketplace and in society. So I think we go beyond the message of the passage when we turn it into something that it's not. And that irks me. Irking Kirk. It's a good letter. But we're really good at taking looks at the Bible and writing our own agenda into it. I know that I do it. I try not to do it, but we read the Bible and we see it with our own eyes, right? It doesn't matter how much studying we've done, we have an interpretation of it. But there isn't just one interpretation of so many ways of looking at the Bible. I don't know. Did I say that right? There isn't just one interpretation of the Bible, although some people would argue with me. The Bible says it, or God said it, the Bible's written, what is it? That settles it. What are the three phrases? Come on, someone who's been to a really, really conservative church sometime. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. There we go, that's what it is. So you read it in the Bible. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's not that simple because it's a long book, it's written by a lot of people. And it requires some study to try to figure out some things. It's one of the reasons that sometimes we sing a really great praise and worship song and I cringe because I'm like, oh, just not down with the theology of that song. And a lot of great worship songs, very catchy worship songs, are written by musicians, not theologians. It doesn't mean that musicians can't write good music or even write good words or have good understanding of God's word. But it means that we need to have an open space for us to think about a lot of different ways of looking at the Bible and understanding how God's love works. Paul didn't try to end slavery with this letter. And I know the slavery present in Paul's time was nothing like the horrific chapter in the history of the United States where one group of people terrorized, stole, took away rights from, exploited, raped, tortured, and killed people because they thought that their skin color made them less than. Onesimus would have become a slave to Philemon over a debt, or perhaps as an apprentice. He may or may not have been treated well. He would not have been rounded up from his home and transported on a ship where half the inhabitants died only to be sold at an auction. But Onesimus was a slave in a society where slavery, very different than the slavery present in the United States before, and that still exists today in some parts of the world, it was different with Onesimus. And this letter should never be used to support slavery, as it has been done in the past, where people interpreted the Bible differently. I'm not down with that interpretation. We could argue about it. Maybe I could persuade you into thinking the way I think. Maybe I couldn't. But this letter is something different. And it uses manipulation to achieve what it wants. Paul wanted Onesimus back as a helper. I also said that Paul wanted to receive an offering for the cause. His language about, I say nothing about you owing me even your own self. And then this other bit, just after the end of this morning's reading, it's actually the last verse. It's a coded message when he goes, one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. That's a coded message because when Paul came to town, he took up a collection. It's not bad that he took up a collection, but there's a coded part there. Get ready to give money too. And Onesimus back, because I'm going to be back. He was coming soon, and Philemon should have been getting things ready for a good offering. So Paul was really manipulative in this letter that has some inspirational moments in it. But it still irks me that we see this manipulation from Paul. Maybe I can find something good, though. If you look at the message underneath the manipulation. Here's one message that I can get from it. If you're going to be an advocate, manipulation is not the method to use. If you're going to be an advocate, listening to people you advocate for and with is the most important thing you can do. That phrase that we have heard from groups that are marginalized and where advocates come in or people that are working with to try to make things better, nothing about us without us. So, if there is someone who is supporting feminism or women's rights and you're not a woman, well, you can't quite understand it. So nothing about us without us. If you're a person of color, nothing about us without us. If you're a person who deals with mental illness or mental health problems, nothing about us without us. It's important as the church to listen. It's important as humans to listen and to stay away from manipulative agendas. It doesn't mean we can't try to persuade. It means that we still have to listen. Always have to listen. We can be and will continue to be a vital community of faith, especially if we do things that way. And as we continue to be the church, it's vitally important to stay away from manipulation and to advocate for and with the outcast, for and with the marginalized, for and with the forgotten. When you come into church on Sundays, either downstairs or upstairs, you see a sign that says, "Be the church." We've had it there for quite some time, and it was on our Facebook page this week, right? Or last week? This week, "Be the church." It was "Be the church," and it's neat. The image that was on the Facebook page came from somewhere else. Contemplative Monk, was that it? And it was a picture of the UCC coloring book. The Be the Church coloring book. And we had some, we might have a few left, but we had some before, and they just kind of like cropped out the United Church of Christ part at the bottom. It was kind of cute. But the United Church of Christ doesn't need to own be the church, right? The church should own be the church. The things that it says on there, if you don't remember, protect the environment. And that comes from a lot of places in the Bible, but Psalm 24. You can look these up. Care for the poor, that's from Matthew 25. Forgive often, that's from Matthew 6. Reject racism, that's from Romans 10. Fight for the powerless, that's from Psalm 82. Share earthly and spiritual resources, that's from Luke 3. Embrace diversity, that's from Genesis 1. Love God, that's from Luke 10. Enjoy this life, that's from Philippians 4. So let's be the church. It is our history. It's our now, and it is our new identity. Amen.